All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Gold Plus Elite call and Diamond call for June. I guess it's the second one. This is the early one. We already had our late one, and I'm excited to be here and support you in whatever way you want or need support. And also, I'd love to hear some successes, and I would love to hear from Rachel, if you're okay with that, because we haven't seen you in a long time, and I think everybody would love an update and to hear how you're doing.
Actually, I'm doing remarkably well for everything I've gone through. I have started eating very healthy, basically walked away from unhealthiness, not perfect, but doing great. Exercising, God has given me a morning routine that in my grief and in my loss sets my tone for the day, gets me up, gets me feeling great. I found out later soaking in my tub is emotionally healing for me. Nice. He's coming alongside of me, giving me things that help me emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and physically to heal. I'm implementing all of that. It's unbelievable how great I feel. Awesome. 2 weeks ago, my daughter, what would have been my daughter's graduation, came up and was a little bit of a setback because it reopened the wound. We attended it. But for where I'm at right now, I just feel like God has done something great, marvelous for me to help me find the tools, the things I needed, all the people to come alongside of me to help me get to this point is just fantastic and miraculous.
Awesome. So glad to hear that, right? You've been on my mind a lot. And I apologize for not just reaching out and texting you when I thought of you, but you know, life, you know, gets in the way. But I have thought of you a lot, and hopefully you felt that.
Yes, I have. I know that I'm here because of all of the love and prayers and support of people. That's how I'm overcoming daily.
Awesome. Is there any way I can support you today? Questions you have, things that you need support with?
Right now, Annette and I are working on my sugar. Great. Trying to, I'm going to do the 2 hour. She told me to do like a 2 hour thing where I measure my sugar before I eat, then measure it, you know, after I eat, and then every 15 minutes for a couple hours. So I'm getting ready to do that. I'm getting ready to try to take my sugar once a day, just to get started into it, because I'm just kind of like literally behind, but not really behind, because I'm right where I
where can you need to be, right where you need
so I'm just working on that and trying to figure out like what foods spike my sugar.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of navigating my way through that. So other than that, I don't really have anything major, because I'm doing great. I'm taking support for my adrenals. I'm doing all of that, supporting my thyroid. I did have one question about, and I don't even know where we were at in it because I got behind, but the TSH level that they told me was high. And my question would be, like, I am losing my hair big time. Mm-hmm. Now, people I've talked to said that stress can create that. So I'm guessing that's what's going on, but that is something that's bothering me. And I just wondered if it had anything to do with my thyroid, if it just, you felt it would be stress. Cause I have been through a lot of stress, obviously.
A lot. And it's, you know, I kind of like tie them together because there's so much of the thyroid function, the conversion from T4 to T3, the receptor function is all, you know, going to be affected by cortisol and your stress levels and the cytokines, which are inflammatory markers that get produced when you're under stress. So all of it ties together. So do you remember what the TSH number was?
No, I don't remember. I have it somewhere. I can email it to you later.
Yeah, or upload it to your, do you know how to upload it to your folder?
I can't remember. I think we uploaded my stuff, but I'm somehow lost in a shuffle. And I can ask her. I think she helped me with that because I was struggling with everything.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So all of that. So looking at, I don't know if you have a Dutch test. I think that we sent you one of those Maybe it's very behind, right? But the Dutch test would be a really good test to be doing right now to see where your adrenals are and your other hormones. Okay. In the meantime, you know, things, if there's a thyroid issue and there's adrenal issue, one of the herbs that works really well is ashwagandha. I don't know if you have it, but ashwagandha, are you already taking?
No, but I've heard of it.
Would be a good one to be taking because it helps to your body to make more thyroid hormone. So it would bring that TSH down, but also it's an adrenal adaptogen. It helps you with sleep. It helps you with, you know, just modulating that stress.
Okay.
As far as hair is concerned, again, we're looking at some Band-Aid kind of things, although it could be addressing underlying causes, but things that contain silica can be super important. So what I think of is nettle root, horsetail. Those are the main ones that I think that have good amounts of silica.
Okay.
And that can be helpful. And biotin, which oftentimes gets depleted when you're stressed.
Okay.
And biotin is super important for hair as well.
Okay.
Okay. And then, you know, supporting your adrenals, vitamin C, you know, making sure your levels of vitamin C are up, I would say at least 1,000 three times a day, because that's going to support your adrenal function.
Okay.
And possibly even, I hesitate to say, but do you tend to have high cholesterol?
No.
No. Okay. So B5 might be helpful. Might not, but it helps the cholesterol convert into the hormones that, you know, support your estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and all that. And when you're under stress, you know, you're going down the cortisol pathway and you're taking away from all the other hormones.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons that all these kinds of things happen.
Okay.
Okay.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
No worries. Thank you. So we're open. Who wants to share, ask?
Dr. Rita Marie, Diana was the only one that had submitted a question.
Oh, I didn't think it was a question. I thought it was just a...
Well, I just said I'll come up with a question. I knew I would eventually.
Yeah.
So first, I would like to say something to Rachel.
Yeah.
Rachel, it's just so good to see you. It's so good, especially smiling. And my heart has just gone out to you, and I've prayed for you every day. It's so good to see you. I can't tell you how wonderful it feels. Yeah. I want to tell you a little bit about me. In the last 6 months have been pretty traumatic, and I'm kind of fading away. I'm dealing with a lung problem, and a lot of that came from the grief. Please take care of yourself. Please.
Processing the grief rather than storing it inside is super important, because the lungs in Chinese medicine is the place of grief.
And it's taken a huge toll on my lungs. My chest x-ray 6 years ago was absolutely clear, perfect, normal lungs, despite the fact that I had smoked. I didn't have any sign at all of emphysema, no lung disease. Now I'm on oxygen 24/7 as of a few days ago. I have a mass, a very large mass in my lung, and part of it's collapsed. And I'm not taking drugs. I'm not going to take any other chemotherapy. If it does turn out to be cancer, I'm not even going to get a biopsy. I'm trusting God completely. But this all came from the grief that I stored and harbored. And please, don't do that. Reach out. Reach out to all those people who care. Let them help you. And thank God that you found these people, this coaching program, before you even needed it.
Amen.
Because if it wasn't for these last 2 years in this program, I would have died 2 years ago.
Wow.
I would have not made it. And I was well on my way to recovery. And I still am. Because I'm holding God to his promise of a perfect healing.
Amen.
So I'm looking forward to miracles.
Yes.
But this is right directly the result of that grief. And I still carry it. 2 weeks ago is when things really changed. 2 weeks ago, my daughter's second son graduated from high school.
Mm.
Yeah, that graduation just sucked the air right out of me. I was doing so well. So it's still there, and it's still taking a toll. So please reach out You're doing all the right things. I wish that I had had the support when I needed it, and I didn't. And I just tried to bury it. I stuffed it, and it just took a toll. So use those tools. Use the love surrounding you and the prayers. Always have faith in God, and pour your heart out and cry whenever you need to. Give yourself whatever permissions you need to do whatever you feel like you need to, but don't put yourself last. Amen. Don't put yourself last. Don't try to stuff it. We got lots of prayers. Lots of prayers. If I do go home, by the way, you know, I'm not afraid to go because I know where I'm going.
Amen.
And I'll be watching you from the other side too with angel wings. So, you know, I'm prepared to go home anytime. Whenever God's done with me here, I'm going home. I have no fear of that. Amen. I should not want to go home too soon. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's too soon. And I don't think he's done with me yet. I think he's just stirring up for a big fat miracle. He's going to give me one of those instant healings. It's going to be a surprise. I don't know. I won't know it's coming. It's just going to come and fall on me. And I'm holding that hope every minute. But boy, I sure have missed you. I am so glad to see your smiling face. You keep going, girl.
I will.
It's beautiful.
Okay, and then I do have one question, Dr. Reed Marie. It's just a stupid one. Jeannie and I arranged for me to take one of those one of her meeting hours with you. Yeah. And it's going to be on Thursday, and I'm not sure how to get to the meeting.
Okay, let me give you your it's the call that I have with Jeannie, quarterly check-in. I am going to give you this Zoom link. I'll put it right here in the chat.
Okay.
And I think that doesn't have, I don't know if it has, it doesn't have a password because it was done through the system and the system doesn't add the password. So I'm going to put this in the chat to you.
So that should get me to the meeting?
That'll get you to the meeting. And worst case is if you can't, you will email me.
Okay.
Or text me actually is easier.
Yeah, I'd have to text you.
Okay, I just chatted it to you privately, and you could just click that link and then if you test. I said test. That's text. That's my number to text me if you have any trouble getting in.
Okay.
Sorry.
Text.
Okay. Test.
I got it.
I can't type. I just can't type. I can spell. People think I can't spell because I can't type, but it's not that I can't spell. I just can't type. It's terrible. Okay, so I just want to say to you, Diana, if you're feeling that grief, I mean, that grief has to be processed, right? Mm-hmm. And so do you feel like you have tools for processing that grief?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't reach out and ask for it because it's my nature to not ask for help. So it's my own shortcoming.
Right.
But so I am reaching out and asking for help when I need it now.
Reaching out and asking for help is super important because you're a caregiver. You are a caregiver and you care for others and you have a hard time receiving. So I want to
see you
opening up to receiving. Well, that right now is the time to open up for that. And we're all pouring our love and healing energy into you. So right now, what I want you to do is just sit there and I want you to keep your eyes open. And I want each one of you to send Diana love and healing and wishes for the release of that grief. When we lose someone we love, it never goes away. It's always painful, but it depends on how you process it in your body, how it's going to impact you. Right? So what I want you to do is have a process where you can release the energy of the grief out, because it's going back in, and that's what's affecting the energy flow to your lungs. And that miracle can be that you do that, and then that helps to break up whatever that mass is.
Yeah.
Right. So let it go. So I want everybody let's just take a moment to just send Diana love and prayers for 100% healing. Okay. And beyond just healing, for release of the energy of the grief out. We'll take it. We'll handle it. So I want you to be pushing that energy of grief out towards us, and we're going to embrace it in a bubble of love. And then just, we're going to send it off. Okay. So feel us. Take it in and envision the white light of love that we're sending you, replacing the darkness of the grief. And allowing that to release. And it's okay to cry, like you just told Rachel. If you want to cry, that's okay. If you want to shout, if you want to get angry, let it out. That moves it from the liver, lungs to the liver. Move the energy, ideally out. And I'm sure there is anger mixed in with that grief. I'm sure Rachel has anger mixed in with that grief. And it's okay to release the anger too. And it's okay to stomp your feet and with the intent of letting it out, not pulling it in more. Well, that's just a natural response to what you've been through. You feel good? Feel complete? Okay. Know that even when we're not in this room together, that we are doing the same. We're sending you that energy, that love, and that light, and that healing. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's very, very relieving. Wow. My other daughter, Janelle, taught me some techniques for breathing better. And I've been practicing them, and they are very, very helpful. Yeah. Very helpful. Awesome. It's all about relaxing and releasing and breathing in the good stuff and the white light and breathing out all the bad stuff. Exactly. Breathing out just a little more than you think you have.
Exactly.
And releasing that. And it's very, very healing very quickly.
Good.
And thank you for that little exercise and a reminder.
And allow it, allowing. As a caregiver, we tend to have a hard time receiving.
Yes, very much.
It's now your time to receive.
Amen. I agree. Thank you so much.
Great.
Okay, that was the end of my little problems and questions. But Rachel, it's so good to see you. That just lifted my spirit so much. I can't even tell you.
Awesome.
All the grief just gone. It's just gone. Thank you. Thank you for coming today. Please come back. We missed you. Oh, I do anyway. I don't know anybody else.
I did too.
I think Dr. Rita Marie does too, yes.
Yeah. My whole countenance lightened up when I saw you. So thank you.
May I say something?
Absolutely.
That Diane is sharing that today touched me and healed me. And you helping her touched me in a way that nothing else could have done, because I felt everyone understood and could feel what we were feeling. And thank you all for taking time to acknowledge our grief and to be coming alongside of us in it. That means so much. You don't have to understand what we feel, because you probably won't until you've been there.
And you don't want to be there.
And we don't want to be there.
And we don't want you to be there.
No, but just knowing you're there beside us means everything. And I don't even know how I'm even here today, because I haven't been able to get on. And here I am.
Yeah. It's God. It's a God thing. It's always a God thing. You're always in the right place at the right time.
Thank you. Thank you both for your courage and your love. appreciate it as the dog. Does anybody else have something they need to share? Paula.
Well, this is kind of in the same, along the same lines. This is a celebration of a sort. It's, I consider this to be a miracle. My healing over the last 3 years as a part of ERC. And also Tom's journey towards better health, which began really when he and I both came to SIV and he got in the hot seat coaching with you that night. And as well, he really took a liking to Dr. Tom O'Brien. And you know, we won his book, we won Dr. Tom's book, as well as the Vitamix and some other things, but which Tom uses every day, the Vitamix every day to make yogurt, to make whatever, you know. And right now, my younger brother in California is undergoing a PET scan of his liver and of his lungs. He has a mass in his lung and a number of small ones in his liver. Mm. And grief and anger are a big piece of this for him. But over the weekend, Tom and I talked about how we could support my little brother. He's 11 years younger than I am. And Tom has been a big brother to him. So we decided that Tom would fly out to California to be with John. And he packed Dr. Tom's book to take out there with him. Nice. It was his idea.
Nice.
He took yogurt along, the yogurt that he makes. It's beet, carrot, and coconut yogurt. He took some of that along in a little cooler for John. Oh. John was here at Christmas, and he loved that yogurt. And John loved Scott's, you know, that soup that Scott makes with all those. So Tom is out there to support John and to help him make some changes, dietary changes, to meet him where he is, because he's, he needs to make some changes, and he knows that, but he's still eating things that are not healthy. Yeah. So I just wanted to, I've been thinking about the miracle of Tom and the changes that he has made in his diet, going gluten-free, going dairy-free, going sugar-free, when just 4 years ago, he was still eating things like cornflakes for breakfast, you know. So the power of you and the other coaches, I mean, it's so many of the coaches, you know, Lynn and Tony St. Clair and Steph and all of the Elena Love, all of the people that were at SIV, just that energy, being immersed in that. And then, of course, he listens to the webinars that I have on. You know, he can't help it because they're blaring all over the house, right? He doesn't listen in on any of my coaching calls like this. But, he hears the public things, you know. And so I consider that a miracle. I truly do. And when he got there to be with my brother Sunday, my brother just hung on to him for a whole minute. Tom. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
He has a tremendous amount of anxiety. His biochemistry is very similar to mine. A lot of anxiety, depression. He's not married. He has no children.
Yeah.
And gut imbalance since the time he was a little boy. So, yeah. And he's scared to death of what they're going to find. But I had a long call with Steph yesterday morning, a lot of good ideas from her. Great. And I'm grateful for everything that I've learned, for the place that I am in right now, and especially being in with Laura and Kimberly in,
it's a whole package, right? And you never know the influence that you're going to have on others as a result of you just embracing, taking charge of your own stuff, right? And the ripple effect, right? One little wave just ripples its way around.
Yeah. Well, I had already been to a couple of other functional practitioners. 4 years ago, we went out to Virginia to see Dr. Eric Berg, the keto guy, mm-hmm. for me, you know, and Tom really started, I think that was a catalyst. It planted the seed for him. Eric Berg is a fantastic guy, a terrific practitioner, but he wasn't enough. I needed more than what he could give me. And it was the next year then that I got into Sweet Spot. Yeah.
It's interesting. The power of community cannot be underestimated.
Exactly.
Community. The power of a group and the community and bringing it together and having the ongoingness of the support. It's one thing, one-on-one practitioners it's helpful, but what I've realized, it's limited, and it's limited in what I can do with somebody if they're just coming to see me in my office once a month or, you know, a couple of times a month or whatever, versus having this whole community and the education, and you pick it up where you're at. Like Rachel said, oh, I'm behind. Nobody's ever behind. Everybody is going to go through and pick up what they need when they need it. And that's why we have kind of a smorgasbord of stuff out there so that you can do it at your own pace. And everybody's making progress. And we don't compare to everybody else. Say, well, look at her. She lost 50 pounds and, you know, got off all her meds and I'm still sitting here. No, we all have our own unique stories, our unique traumas, our unique biochemistry, our unique genetics. And all that plays in to say where we are right now. And that's why I love this community. And I so appreciate you sharing, because it makes, you know, all the hard work that it takes to do this, which I won't underestimate or say that it's not hard work, but it's so worth it to hear this influence, you know, and to have this community and to hear the support that we have and the love for each other. And that's such a big part of it. So thank you so much for sharing. And I'm going to send lots of healing out to your brother. And I think it's great that Tom is doing it, because he's going to hear it from Tom much better than he will from his own sister.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's a joy. It's a pleasure. Who else has something that they need support on or they want to share? Annie, how's the moving going? Have you moved yet? You're getting ready. You're still in the same house, so you haven't moved.
I'm in the same house. Oh, my. I'm crying, you guys. This is crazy.
I saw you were touched.
Oof, I mean, touched, but it's also bringing up all this stuff that I've not been allowing myself to handle. The grief. Oh, my God. I've had a life of it. And I'm like, just right now, it's just like, oh, my God, everything's going through, but me too. And, I'm overwhelmed with stuff. I mean, holy crap. So I'm going to start crying. I'm moving through my things. I just went to Florida and I bought a boat. So I know I did. So I feel like in the last, well, my whole life, I've not had my own security and safety, and, I'm providing it with this, just global freedom to be completely off the grid should I need to be able to come home and park it at a dock for my kids to go to school, to set up an eco charter down in Costa Rica for business long term, to pay for it, to keep it. I mean, there's a lot of things that make a ton of sense. I still have no way to get there to see my mom. It's been over 3 months. And so I'm like, I'm moving in 2 weeks and we're renting a house, but who knows with this economy? So this was not even a down payment of what a house in the Bay Area would cost right now. And I just felt, holy moly, I just pulled the plug. I still don't even believe it. I'm in a kind of a state of shock, but it is like providing safety and freedom all at the same time. It's crazy. I've done the craziest things in the last 3.5 years. But it's all good. It's just this progress of getting to where I'm supposed to be. As much as it sounds crazy, it's okay, Like, it's not what normal people do, but who wants to be normal? You know, like, and it's kind of how I started with my parents' health that kind of busted through all this is, if I'm the only one in charge, why not make better choices, different choices, you know? And then what does that start to look like? And then everything just started opening up. But I do realize from you know, Diana and Rachel, like, I've just been shoving the shit down. And going through Sweet Spot, I gained weight. I know. Like, I was doing okay. And at the very end, I just got back to that feeling bloated. And I'm like, what gives? And then I went to Florida. So I didn't extend. And I couldn't do the SIV over the weekend because I was traveling. I was flying. So I'm like, well, okay. So I just, you know, I kind of, you know, and I was with my captain. So, you know, we went to restaurants. I'm like, what am I going to eat? So it was interesting. And now my face just hurts so bad. My skin, I don't know if it's like I was out of the routine of drinking a ton of water or what, but it hurts to touch. I'm breaking out. And so I just, like, from trying so hard to getting on an airplane and all that recirculated air, wearing a face mask and all this irritation and going to restaurants and all that. It's like, my God, that was like 4 days and I feel like crap. Yeah. Amazing, right? So how many weeks is that going to take me to detox just the little bit of stuff that I did? It's really kind of a bit of a wake-up call. We got some testing back. That Lisa put into the system. It came right as I was starting to travel. So I haven't looked through it. She and I are going to have a call. And I got the Dutch test, which I can't wait to do. I was going to do it yesterday because in the evening, I had one of the worst, most stressful days ever. And all about my land down in Costa Rica and trying to help others and have someone else oversee some work for me. It blew up into a disaster. And I'm like, is it me how I communicate? Because I have super high expectations. And for what this is going to represent to then help others long-term, it's not like, oh, that's good enough. Just get the job done. It's like, you know, I don't want to be like an anal perfectionist, but I have a vision. Yeah. And I'm trying to help others as they have no income right now. All these people, no income. Mm-hmm. All tourism is shut down for 3 months. Nobody has anything. So, okay, great. I need a little help. Help me. And it's a disaster. And I'm like, do I have to just wait to get there to be able to oversee it myself? You know, I really wanted to trust.
Yeah.
And hand the keys to someone else and say, I know you got this for me. You know, to start building that community, right? I mean, this is all about building a community I can really just, you know, live at for the rest of my life. And it's just so frustrating. And then to, you know, have the intake now of the grief and these various things. I'm like, I've just shoved all these emotions down for so long. I'm like, I feel like maybe I'm just grabbing versus processing, you know, like, I think that's part of my weight. Like, it's just, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of things come up as you say that. You do, I mean, you operate on a high cortisol level, girl. Operate from that, not even, it doesn't have to be negative stress all the time. It's just that, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and do this, and you just fill up your plate, and you don't allow yourself the time. You signed up for this program. You come to these group calls. You signed up for the Gold Plus. You haven't made one single appointment with me.
Well, we had one, but I also feel like I want to get my testing in to give you data, right? And yes, so I know.
Yeah. So you now have probably 7 calls.
Oh my God.
Backed up. Okay. A Dutch call, a 23andMe call. I don't remember which one we had, whatever we did at the beginning. Yeah. And then 4 quarterlies. So you've got 7 calls.
Okay.
Let's get them on the calendar on a every other week basis.
Yeah.
We'll just do whatever we need to do.
Okay. On
right? Mm-hmm. Whatever's up for you. Don't worry about being prepared. That's part of your hypervigilant personality, right? Mm-hmm. That's part of your hypervigilant genetics, right? So we'll just make the calls and then we'll process whatever needs to be processed.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Got it.
All right.
Yeah. And as far as the part about hiring people and trusting them, been my experience as well. It's really hard to have somebody who has the same level of value in the vision as you have, and you see it. And it is hard to do it from afar. I know, you know, I have team that, and even at the, with this weekend, it was beautiful, but there were all these little things that I had said, I want it done this way, I want this, this didn't always happen.
Yeah.
It happened because whatever, you know, somebody else didn't hear my vision the way I put it out there. Right. So
yeah.
Sometimes, yes, we have to let go and go, okay, it was good enough. Mm-hmm. And it's not good enough. And you do need to be there and sometimes be present. So especially with, you know, workers in another country, different work ethic, the whole bit. So, you know, just let yourself sit with all is good. You have this plan. You have this land. Now you have this boat. You can fly to Florida and take the boat down to Costa Rica, whatever that takes. Do you know how to even run a boat? I mean, that would be my thing. Like, yeah. I got a boat now and I want to go to Costa Rica now. How the hell do I do this? Do I have to hire a captain? What do I have to do to get there?
Yeah. So I have a captain who lived in Costa Rica for 8 years. Okay. So, and he can't wait to start a charter business. He was doing paragliding and he's also a pilot. So he's good. And a friend of mine in Costa Rica referred me to him and he said, you know, when the SHIT hits the fan, this is the kind of guy you want around. So he's already come, met my family. Then we flew to Florida. He's flying tomorrow to the boat and he's so excited. It's great.
Right.
So, and he said, listen, I will teach you and your kids to be able to sail this around the world. It's a super simple boat and you just need to know some, and it catamaran, it would take a trifecta of craziness to capsize something like that. It's very, very safe. I would not put myself and my kids, especially in a, you know, situation in jeopardy. So yeah, I just,
well, that's exciting. And I want you to take a deep breath and just to feel into that. I think what happens, you tend to live up here with all these ideas and I want you to drop into your body.
Yeah.
Yeah. What does it feel like? Don't think it, don't put words on it, to just feel into whatever excitement you're feeling, whatever, you know, what's the word? Positive optimism you feel about where this can go, but feel it. Don't think it.
Yeah.
All right. And if there's grief that comes up, feel it. Don't think it. Feel it. Cry. Let it go. Journal it. And know that you're moving in the direction that you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Your body comes up with fear. Cortisol causes high blood sugar, which causes weight gain.
Yeah.
And you're a cortisol producing bunny.
I am. And so with that, because what I was noticing is maybe my cortisol would be 85 at night. I was taking these super long baths, tons of Epsom salt, candlelight, like every night. And I go to bed, I check my blood sugar and it would be 99 or 105 when I woke up. I'm like, it's not like 3 points, but it'd be 20 points higher as I'm sleeping. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. And then I realized, like, when I used to go into like boardrooms and present stuff and I'd be so amped up and like on, and I get out to my car and I'd virtually want to collapse in exhaustion. And I'm like, I'm either full tilt this way or I'm full tilt that way. And where do I, like, I'm so trained to be this or that. Where do I get, where is like my little sweet spot?
Right. Let's get on and let's do some regular sessions and let's get this handled and give you some strategies and techniques. What I'm hearing, what you just said, right? You do all this great stuff and you got yourself relaxed, but the pattern, the automatic, what do they call them? Ants, right? Automatic negative, whatever it is. But they're playing in your brain as you sleep. So now you relax, but the little things are going, and what about the boat? And what about this on a subconscious level?
Yeah. Okay.
You have some calls even with either Kimberly or Laura.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is I'm now just packing up and moving and getting on for an adventure, right? So I've sort of like blown through all this nasty stuff. So I feel like, okay, even if they're backed up, it's good because I think I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
Which is nice versus doing something and then having another wave of like too much. Right. I mean,
so let's get you on my calendar. We'll come up with a plan for how you're going to use all the other things that you got that you haven't used yet and use them for what you need right now. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Mm-hmm. Well, Donna, yeah, I knew you were going to be next. I had you in my mind. I was like, Donna, and then you raised your hand. So there you go.
All right. So where do I start? So I tried doing Isabel's liver detox. That did not go well. And I was, you know, I think I was wanting it so badly, you know, for everything to just be out that I wasn't really realizing that my body is not ready for that. It has a ways to go. So because what ended up happening is, you know, there's so much toxic yuck inside of me, even just, you know, left over from all the implant junk and the surgery and all of that, you know. I thought, oh, okay, well, I'm feeling better. It's just because it's all tucked away nice and neat.
Nice and neat in your hips and your thighs and your liver. Yeah.
My belly and my liver. So what started happening was it was detoxing way too strong. Mm. And then I was thinking about the coffee enema, and I'm so glad that I didn't do it because coffee enemas really kind of make your liver kind of like go whoosh, you know. And I'm so glad I didn't do it because then my body would have been so overwhelmed with all that toxins coming out even more than what was already happening. But so, you know, I tried getting a hold of Isabel, and you know, she just wait till the call and this and that, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm done now. You don't understand. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to go get a colonic.
Oh, good.
And what happened was, is she was saying, yeah, that would your body, you know, still has a ways to go of, you know, slowly detoxing before your body's ready for that kind of a thing. So I actually set up, you know, numerous amounts of colonics that I'm gonna
go through before
I can, because that was just way too much. I was feeling just horrible. Way beyond what, you know, I could even control.
And was it cravings or achiness, or what kind of symptoms did it promote?
Nausea, headache, just the nausea more than anything. And it didn't matter what I was eating. You know, I wasn't eating hardly anything, but even when I started to eat, I was like, okay, there's just too much toxins flooding my system, you know? So, but at least I'm just glad I didn't do it, you know, because it was a little bit too generalized for my specific needs.
So, you know, that kind of program is, it's an intense program. So I don't recommend it to everybody. You have to be ready for it. You have to be, you know, have been doing some work, I think, in advance. It's not good for, that's where she screens. And, you know, it's hard to tell if somebody's ready for it, but it's intense. And, you know, even just doing a coffee enema is intense, right?
If
you've done it before, but you'll get there. You get there.
I just, you know, I'm just like, not anxious, but I'm like excited to get it all out.
You know,
I have a long ways to go. It's a lot of years of putting it in there.
It doesn't work that way, right? Even if we took you and put you in a fasting retreat where you were fasting and somebody was giving you colonics every day and putting,
I tried that when I was at Hippocrates. Yeah. I wanted to do like a lot of colonics, and by I think my fourth one, I was like, I am done. I felt so horrible because so much was being like, okay,
whoosh, it was being recycled.
Whoosh. Yeah. It was like, I can't do anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what was I going to ask you? It was about the colonics. Oh, casserole packs. Are you doing casserole packs?
So a while back, I had gotten that from her and I started doing them and I was sleeping better. And then it sort of got to the point where I'm not really hot.
Are you hot?
I'm sorry, I can't think when I have a hot flash. It's like my brain just goes poop. I'm serious.
You're doing the casserole packs and
it started being where I wasn't really getting the same benefits anymore. And I was like, well, yeah, I don't know. Xander said my body got used to it.
She has you to do them every day, Marisol, who he interviewed.
And that's what I was trying to do.
And it's good to do that for like 3 or 4 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think, like with anything, you take a little break and then you go back and do it again. Right. And then maybe
I didn't even get to it was not even a whole week.
Oh.
And it was just like, I'm not feeling all that great. You know, like I don't even remember because it was a while ago. Oh, but it was to the point where I was like, just like the brain time, it was making me more anxious at night because like so I would lay down, put the headphone thingies in my ears and turn it on. And it was like, I had to force myself to stay awake so that I could take the earphone thingies out and put them away. And so the stress or the anxiety of having to like, make sure I woke up and you know what I mean? Like after I sort of fell asleep,
I think that's what I mean? To talk about, right? Because first of all, do it in the morning. It's not intended necessarily, you can do it right before bed, obviously, to help you fall asleep, but it's intended to reprogram your brain. So like sit up in a chair and do it in the morning and just do that.
And I'd be doing other things. Like the mornings are so cram busy. Do I have to just sit there and do nothing? Because I really don't.
It's only 5 minutes.
Oh.
It's only 5 minutes that you need to do it for.
He says in the instructions, you could do it while you're doing other things.
Oh, perfect.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Perfect.
So you can put them in while you're making your smoothie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or reading emails. He says you can do it while you're doing whatever other things you need to do.
Okay.
Right? So instead of doing it right before bed, because then you're going to fall asleep, do it an hour before, you know, do it while you're brushing your teeth and washing your face and, you know, doing all your prep work for bed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And as far as the casserole packs, I want you to start with doing them 2 to 3 times a week.
Okay.
Just do it 2 to 3 times a week. You will get benefit from that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You will definitely get benefit 2 to 3 times a week. And that you can fall asleep with. So, yeah, just put it on and then go to sleep.
Oh, and another thing about the castor oil pack, and I don't know if this is just a silly thing that I just have stuck in my head. So, you know, I've used the thing a lot and it's like saturated with oil. Yep. And so I had watched a video of hers saying how to clean it, but then all that oil goes down the drain. And is that right? Is that a good thing? Dishwasher. Do I throw it away? No, you know what I mean?
In the dishwasher. When you put your dishes in the dishwasher, the dish detergent, whatever you use, breaks down the oil. So, you know, it's used to it. I would say it's fine. I've done it in my dishwasher. And anybody else who's used it might want to pipe in and see if you've done it. Jenny?
Remember I had a really bad reaction because my sister used dish soap. Like we were talking about how it was hard to break up the oil and get it kind of feeling like it was really getting clean. And she used something like Palmolive or something. And then when I went to try using it again, I started breaking out really bad. And the assumption was it was probably because there was still, so my my question was, I think the dishwasher is a perfect idea, but what kind of soap do you use, Rita Marie, in the dishwasher that it doesn't, or do you just
natural soap, right? So seventh generation or whatever other natural
soap. I use Thieves.
Thieves. Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, but I know what you mean, Donna. In fact, I got a second one so that while one was being cleaned and drying and stuff, I could continue going with it with the second pack that I had. And when they start soaking through and it starts kind of staining your clothes and that kind of stuff.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's when it's done. And the other thing I would look at is, are you using too much oil? Because what she said is the first time you do it, you put 2 tablespoons and you're really saturating it. But then every time you use it after that, you only need a tiny bit of oil.
I'm like pouring it out.
Actually, she says 3 tablespoons.
3 tablespoons.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I washed it by hand with Dr. Bronner soap. And after that, it was still kind of messy.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to have to throw it away, honestly. I mean, I'm serious. There's so much oil in that thing.
Start again. And get it, do the 2 to 3 tablespoons the first time only. Uh-huh. And after that, it's just a pinch. It's just a tiny bit just to re-lubricate it. Because I didn't have that problem, but I remember her saying that. Okay. You don't need to put 2 tablespoons every time, just a little bit. And so when I did it, yeah, it's not going to come out fresh and beautiful like the first time. I mean, it's just not. And after, I don't remember how many times she says, like 5 to 10 times of washing it, then you get a new one. Right.
But that was the same for me, Rita Marie. I just added a little bit after the first time, and it took a long time for it to soak all the way through and get so messy. So it worked really well for me anyway, for that. Yeah. Doing that.
See, that's it. I know in the olden days when I had the 3-part flannel and I'd soak it all up, I would like, this is gross. And then somebody said, well, you can just stick it in your refrigerator and use it again. And I'd take it out and go, you know, it was pretty gross, right? After several times of doing it. So I think that, try it, you know, adapt it like everything else. You adapt it to your particular needs. And she tends to be very, you know, overly enthusiastic about it. Yeah. Right? I asked her about it. I said, well, you know, if you're going to wear this every night, and what if you have a partner? And she goes, oh, we wear them and we have sex with them on. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know that most people's partners are going to be willing to put on their castor oil packs and have sex, right? It just doesn't seem like, but she's all bubbly. So we have to adapt it, you know, tone it down to your life, right? Yeah. Can you imagine going to your husband and saying, hey, you put this on and I put this on and now let's get intimate. Like, seriously, I don't think that very many would be excited about that. So I can't do something that I have to do every night like that. That's messy. And I mean, it's still messy. It still takes time. I did it every night for a week while my husband was out of town, and it was cool. And I knew that he'd look and go, what are you doing? And why do you have that towel on the bed? And why, you know, so I didn't, you know, I just do it periodically. What I do like that she talked about was swishing it. I like swishing it instead of using like coconut oil or whatever to do oil pulling, I just put a little bit of that in my mouth and my mouth feels so fresh. I do that on a regular basis and it's clean and it's easy. And yeah.
So you use the castor oil instead of like coconut oil or something?
Yeah. And you only need a little bit. Like with the coconut oil, they're saying you have to do it for like 20 minutes.
I know. I can't, there's no way.
Anything like that.
I would be gagging.
Yeah, but it's just, you just put it in, swish it around for a little bit, like a teaspoon of it in your mouth and then you spit it out.
And into the garbage.
Into the garbage, not the drain. Yeah.
And see, and that's my worry, because like, you know, she was saying, oh yeah, you can clean, you can let it soak and it'll break it. I'm like, it's still oil.
Well, you've got to soak in there, right? Like Dr. Broner's is strong. Anything that breaks down grease. Right. You know, you wash your hair with shampoo, it's all greasy, and then you wash it and it's not greasy anymore. Right. You don't worry about that oil clogging up the drain. I understand that that's more obviously oil, mm-hmm. but if you do it with something, you know, like a Dr. Broner's, like something that's a natural soap that does have that ability to break down oil.
What I did regarding that, Donna, was I had a, it happened to be my mom's old little tiny plastic wash basin that she used in the sink. So when I initially put the soap and the pack in that water when it was hot, and it kind of got the beginnings and the worst of the oil out, and then I just dumped it outside, and the rest of it I didn't worry so much about because it wasn't nearly the same load that came out of that first kind of dipping. So maybe
then you put it in the dishwasher. Is that what you
had tried the dishwasher yet? I think that's fantastic. I had just always done it by hand and was worried, as Donna is, about that big load of the initial oil that comes out of it going down the drain. So I dumped it outside, and then after that there wasn't as much oil coming out. I didn't worry about it, but I would feel comfortable doing that first and then sticking it in the dishwasher. I think that that would be a great thing to try to see if it got it clean, but
Does the oil then go all over the dishwasher?
It doesn't. I didn't have that problem. I just stuck it on the top shelf. First, I did it with nothing else in there because I didn't want, you know, because I said to her, isn't that oil going to get all over my dishes? And I'm trying to clean my dishes. And she said, no, because the first time I did it alone. And then I felt bad about wasting all that energy and water on just washing a castor oil pack. I'm like, oh, just because I'm lazy and don't want to do it by hand. That's crazy. But then after that, I put it on the top shelf and it had other stuff in just to check it. And I did it with just a few things because I didn't want to have to rewash a whole lot of stuff. And it was fine because the soap, and we use, I don't know what it is. It's some kind of liquid, natural, you know, kind of non-crazy thing like the Palmolive that your sister used, right? So yeah, and it worked. So, right. And if you just keep with just using that small amount each time after the first, mm-hmm. you should be okay. And you should be able to go to 10 uses. But if you're adding more oil each time, you're not going to want to go to 10 uses. You're going to want to use it because you're afraid it's going to mess your bed.
Oh, and it does. It gets everywhere. I mean, I poured.
You just want to do like, if you've got the pack and you've got a perimeter, you want to do uh-huh. like a rectangle in the middle that's saturated and the rest of it isn't, so that it doesn't okay. leak out. And then you use it, try the smallest amount you can, a tablespoon or two the first time, because it has to soak through. And then just a little pinch. She just did a tiny pinch, and then I'd take it and I'd take my hand and I'd rub it along. Mm-hmm. And then, because it can be really helpful. And she does it. She's the only one I know that does it daily. And she's really, you know, she gets good results, but it's compliance. Mm-hmm. To me, it's always like, there's how do you get good
trade-offs.
Results? And how do you get compliance, right? If I know if I'm not willing to do it, how am I going to share it with somebody who's willing to do it? Yeah, there's some of you mm-hmm. who are going to do something, you know, more rigorously than I would, but I'm always thinking about, I'm really excited about doing things for my health. And if it's not something I can actually easily comply with, it's hard for me to say, yeah, you have to do it that way. But all my whole career in recommending castor oil packs, it's been 3 times a week, you know, and if you're doing a cleanse, maybe you do it every day during the cleanse, but 3 times a week should be a really good number to shoot for. Because if you set your sights too high and then you can't make it, then you just give up and you don't do any. So I'm a fan of let's just do something where we can do and make it, you know, less, it may be less effective to do it it's probably less effective to do it 3 times mm-hmm. a week than it would be to do it 7 days a week, every day mm-hmm. for the rest of your life. That every day for the rest of your life kind of thing. Like, but we have to think in terms of everything you do is important. Every little step you take, and you do what you can to get there. Right? Maybe the person that does it every day for a month is going to have faster results than you, but so what? If it gets you to the point where I don't want to do this anymore, like you're saying, mm-hmm. right, then it's not useful. So just
then you're at zero.
That works, right? And the same thing with the brain time, right? Find a time that you can do it, and you can do it while you're doing something else. And just let your brain get reprogrammed whenever. Because if you're laying in bed, you're hearing it. You're going, I wonder if it's going to stop soon. I wonder if it's going to stop soon. I got to take the earphones off. I hope I don't fall asleep before I go to, you know, so you're distracting yourself from the healing that it's going to provide. So let's just figure out ways we can do it that you're actually going to do. Make sense?
Yeah, because even with like the Aura ring, like now I only wear it at night when I go to bed so I can see how my sleep was. Because when I was wearing it during the day, then I would take it off when I was doing. Are you still there?
Oops. You just stopped. Oh, did you stop hearing? We still hear you.
Yeah, thing goes out. And so I would take it off when I was doing anything in the sink, and then I would forget it, and then
it's like to take it off. Okay.
Well, they say don't get it wet.
I do not.
The thing does.
I wear to get it wet all the time. I swim with it. I wash my dishes. I wash my hair with it. I never take it off except when it needs charging. Oh. I put it on the charger. I'll have to look at that. I don't think you have to take it off.
Oh. I was researching to buy one, and apparently the early generation, it's water resistant, and the new one might not be.
Oh. Well, I've been doing it for over a year, and
but yours might be the older version.
Older generation. That's interesting. That makes it much less convenient to have to take it off. Because I like to do it during the day because I like to see how many steps am I doing when I'm not, you know, not exercising. You know, I like, oh, I just did 2.5 miles and I haven't even gone out for my run yet. That's really cool between the stairs and the standing and all that. And I like having that information. So I just wear it all the time. I take it, the only time I take it off.
I have this too.
Oh, you have that too. Okay.
Yeah, I have my watch.
Yeah. Yeah. So then just wear it at night for sleep.
Yeah.
It'll give you the good information.
Yeah. Because that's like important information for me now.
It is important. And finding that on days, if you get yourself, you know, to the point of, I only slept for 3 hours, but 2.5 of them were deep sleep. That's what I find sometimes. It's like, oh, how do I keep going when I have such poor, you know, such low at 8 hours of sleep in 3 nights preparing for this weekend thing.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of sleep. But it was mostly deep. Like I'd get up and I'd go, okay, I did have some restorative sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Who else? Kathy joined us. Hi, Kathy. I don't see you, but I see your name. Who else joined us? Yeah.
Well, I want to say something. I started listening to the Vagus Nerve Summit, and there are some interesting things there. So maybe if you guys have time, you can catch up some talks.
Signed up for it. I just haven't had the time to. When did it start? I didn't even know when.
Yesterday.
Yesterday. Yeah.
Maybe I could go back and listen. It's nice to see a vagus nerve.
Yeah, well, I work, I have it as a background, so some, you know, I get something, not a lot, but
right? I can always listen while I exercise, so if I can get, you know, just play it. Do they have them, like, for 24 hours, like typical summits?
Yes. And there's a meditation each day that's targeted for the vagus nerve.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. It's super important stuff. Yeah. Oh, you got booted out, Paul. Now you're back.
Yeah, I did a while ago.
Yeah. Okay. I find teaches that the body types are dictated by our survival patterns. Yeah. Right. Who else? Anything else to say? So vagus nerve, and then there's another one coming up with Jody. What's her name? Jody.
Cohen.
Yeah, and hers isn't until November, so I'm going to be on that one. And I have her coming in for Stay in the Sweet Spot. So if you guys had your link to join it, if you haven't already done it, she's going to come in on next week, the 22nd, and she's going to talk to us about parasympathetic. And then I still haven't talked to you yet, Lynn Rose, but I want to have a conversation about having you come in and talk some sleep stuff and the EMFs and the, all that stuff. So if we can maybe set up a time to talk, I'd like to have you do that, because July is sleep month for Stay in the Sweet Spot.
Who is putting on the Vagus Nerve Summit?
I didn't recognize.
Is it like Dr. Nasha?
No.
Does anybody know?
I mean, I did get an email about it. No, I got it. It was on Facebook that I saw it. I don't do well with emails. And I was like, why didn't they invite me to speak on that? And I'm like, well, they could have, but it's buried in your inbox. You haven't read your email in a while. So found out about that. I need somebody to keep up with my email better. But I found out about a summit that I'd been invited. So I was like, why didn't I get invited to be on this summit? You know, it was a fasting. And they said, well, we did invite you, but nobody ever responded. So we assumed you weren't interested. I'm like, oh. So I don't know how many of those are buried in my inbox at this point.
Well, this Vagus Nerve one is through Health Means.
Oh. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. They wrote to me a couple of times and said they wanted me to do a, and I just haven't had time. So, okay. Yeah, Health Means. Okay. And then I think I signed up for the recording, so it'll be in my account.
Yeah. Thank you, Paula.
Sure.
Yeah. Anybody else? We're doing on time, 12:09. Okay, we have about 20 minutes if we have any more questions. Otherwise, we can leave early. And nobody?
Okay, I do have a question.
Okay, good.
So regarding binders, mm-hmm. Okay, whatever you choose, it is charcoal or pectosol or
right.
Clay. So how long away from supplements or other foods?
Yeah, that's a good question.
What's the best?
Best. That's a great question, because the binders will bind the toxins and metals, but they'll also bind zinc and all your other good stuff. So bedtime is oftentimes the best time to do it, because you hopefully had 3 hours from dinner till bedtime, and then you take it at bedtime. But if you take other supplements at bedtime, then you don't want to take it together. So I would say at least an hour, but I think 2 to 3 is probably better. So if you've eaten, 3 hours later would be good. The before eating is a little bit less rigid. You can do it or if you're going to take supplements, maybe take it, you know, a minimum an hour, if not two, before you take your supplements.
Okay.
It's basically the emptier your gut is, the more it can just grab up to the stuff, the undesirable stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're always putting something in either a supplement or food.
Right. But we need to have those fasting periods where we're not putting
something. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. So it's during one of those fasting periods, the emptier the better. And again, like I said to Donna, don't make it so that you have such rigid rules that you end up not doing it because you can't do it right. You know, worst case is if you're like, I can only take it here and it's only an hour before or after my supplements or whatever, just take a little more on your supplements. If that's the only way you can do it on a consistent basis, just up your doses a little bit to make up for the difference.
Yeah, sometimes I take several supplements you have to take away from food, but yeah. I also take them away from each other. So it becomes kind of
having something all the time. I would be careful, you know, look to see if you really do need to take them away from each other. There are certain nutrients, like I think zinc and magnesium, not good to take together, right? Because they'll interfere with the absorption of each other, right? Probiotics. You probably take your probiotics with supplements, not a problem, right? It just needs to be away from food, because you want it to have access to being able to embed in the lining. And if there's food there, less of it's going to get there. But that said, like our best source of probiotics is probiotic foods, right? So, so I would say you can take your probiotics with other supplements. So if that helps at all.
Thanks.
Enzymes on an empty stomach, like say you're going to take something like you know, proteolytic enzymes for inflammation. You want to do those on an empty stomach, but also if you take it with a non-protein supplement, it's fine, right? What it's going to break down is your protein. So if you take a proteolytic enzyme with something that contains protein, you're not going to get that therapeutic effect of it breaking down inflammation because it's breaking down the protein. But if you took it with like liquid magnesium or vitamin C or something like that, I don't think it's a problem.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. How do you about proteolytic enzyme with herbs? Well, with herbs, it's a different story, right? So it depends. If it's a tincture of the herb, probably is fine. But if it's the whole herb, you may have decreased effect. Lynn Rose, do you want to speak to that? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I usually take enzymes with food or totally away from everything else. I don't take them with anything else. So, because the whole point of it is for it to work is focus on that and nothing else. So even herbs have proteins in them.
Right. That's what I meant, the whole herbs. But what about a tincture, though?
I haven't ever tried it that way. It probably won't hurt if you do it now and then. I wouldn't want to do it on a regular basis. So, okay. You know, take all your tinctures together maybe, but.
Yeah.
But enzymes I like to keep alone or if they're with food, then with food. But
yeah.
Proteolytic, they really should be between meals away from everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, logically it seems, and I haven't seen any studies, I haven't looked it up, but that if you took it with like liquid magnesium, for example, or a liquid substance that doesn't have the protein constituent to it,
yeah,
that it's probably okay.
It's probably fine. It's probably fine.
Yeah. Ideal is obviously to just take
it. Exactly.
You know, it's idealism versus reality, right? Sometimes we can't do it the best way.
Diana? If you're not getting results, then, you know, then you're
not. Exactly.
Yeah.
I end up, I've got such a routine that there's no time for me to take the detox stuff. But I finally decided to do, since I spend at least one trip a night to the bathroom, as I was taking my probiotics at bedtime, so I couldn't take it then. The only time I actually could get them in there without video interfering was to take them at my first potty break, when I get up in the middle of the night. So I had them right by the bed, and so if I'd get up to go to the potty, I'd just take my detox capsules in.
Yeah.
So that was my solution.
That's your solution.
It was like, okay, well, I don't have any other time. I've got things scheduled out all day long.
Yeah.
There's no other time.
Yeah.
There's no other time that I could schedule it. So, yeah. And the castor oil pack, I ended up buying an extra piece of flannel, organic cotton flannel. And that was where I would put all my oil. And that really saves that that fancy contraption a lot.
Oh, so having that.
I have several different pieces of flannel.
Flannel inside.
I can switch those out and wash them, you know, and have one drying, one washed. And that does save a lot on that that fancy belt.
That's an idea.
That's a great idea. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I love it. And you can get organic cotton flannel easily. I mean, just it's all over the place. So that's awesome. Jill, what about losing weight on a vegan diet? Husband lost 12 pounds, still losing very thin. You know, it's such a unique thing. Like everybody who's not losing weight on a vegan diet, you have to really work at it for some, right? You know, okay, I got to balance this. I got to balance that. And so people have a high metabolic rate. I would track his calories and see how much he's taking in, and then figure out like maybe 300 to 500 extra calories that he can get in, he's thin. So it might be just oil on his salad. It might be, you know, whole fresh, you know, good oil, but it might figure out where and figure out the number of calories. He may not be getting enough fat. He may not be getting enough protein. He may not be getting enough of the nutrients. Figure out where it is and then add in where you can to get them 300 to 500 extra calories a day. Yeah. I don't have trouble losing weight. I don't have the problem of that I lose too much weight on a vegan diet. I just have to eat the right things to maintain my weight. And if I eat too many nuts, it goes up. Right. Yeah. Who else? Helping people who have a hard time keeping weight on. And my uncle couldn't keep weight on. Yeah. So it's really looking, you have to look at the calories. You really have to look at the expenditure. And we all have a different expenditure. Some of us have a very high baseline basal metabolic rate. And so if you do any kind of exercise on top of that, it's high. And I always tell people, the harder people, hey, Lynn Rose said, I'm happy to donate, me too. The harder people to work with are people who are struggling to keep weight on. I can help people who need to take it off and we can figure it out. But sometimes because they're so used to eating like little birds, right? Or they're so used to eating a certain way and their metabolic rate and their stomachs are small and whatever. And sometimes having him eat more frequently, as much as that's not good, making sure it's not high glycemic foods in between. So they don't, the minimum stimulation of insulin, but you know, a handful of almonds in between or a handful of, you know, a flax shake, hemp shake or something or whatever, but maybe have him eat 4 or 5 times a day. But the low glycemic ones would be the in between, is to keep the calories on. Yeah. Who else? Anything else? We have 10 more minutes if we need it. And if not, we'll take it go. And I'm booked nonstop today until 9:30 tonight. So I don't mind taking 10 minutes to go to the bathroom and get some of my water refilled. Okay. Yeah, Jill.
I just want to say this has been such a beautiful call today. I just so appreciate the shares of Diana and Rachel and Paula and everyone. That is very, very touching and so, so important what's been said in processing out those emotions and comforting your heart. And I'm here for you too. So thank you so much for your share. It's just been a beautiful call today.
Thank you for sharing that. I feel the same. It has been. And I love this little community that we've created that has so much care for each other. Right? We get a lot from the coaches. You probably get a lot from me, but you also get a lot from each other. And that's what's so beautiful. And that's what you wouldn't get if we just offered come and, you know, work with us one-on-one. You wouldn't have that. Yeah. I think it's real important. Thank you.
I have one more comment along that line. Years ago, when I first started reading Christiane Northrup's books, one of the things that she says is community creates immunity.
Love that. Community creates immunity. Wow. I love it.
And I don't think you can heal in isolation. That's been my experience. I know I could not heal in isolation. I tried. So
yeah.
We're not cats, Paula, right? Cats always hide somewhere by themselves when they're injured.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't have my camera on, but Paula, I just want to confirm she is still saying that. I don't think it was chance that I bumped into her. I mean, I had a couple books on the shelf of hers and had known about her for, you know, a couple decades. It wasn't like this avid follower, didn't follow her on Facebook or something like that. But during this time of physical distancing, et cetera, I started following her and she started blogging and she, or posting, it's like 7 to 12 minutes, never longer than that every day. And she still is. Her 10 minutes, I look forward to it every day. There's information, there's laughter, there's compassion, there's insight and light. And so when you said community creates immunity, I 100% believe that too. Yeah. We are human beings that we might need our times alone, but we definitely need others to journey through life for health and wellness, and also for satisfaction, for, you know, the joy and the love and the of course it can be trying. I mean, I have a 33-year-old son that I love dearly, but every once in a while I still go, gosh, I'd like to shake your shoulders, you know? And so and maybe I've felt that way about my husband of almost 43 years. So I too, Jill, appreciate this lovely call. oh shoot, now I'm gonna start crying. It means the world to me. And I realized that we in some ways don't know each other well, and then in other ways we know each other better than sometimes others do in our closer circle that we see even more frequently. So thank you for being here today. And thank you, Dr. Rita Marie. You guys are the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, everybody, for sharing that, because I'm going to say this, I feel the same way. I so appreciate you for fulfilling my life, for really making my life feel more fulfilled. And I've had, you know, business coaches look at my calendar and say, you've got to get ready. You can't offer that many calls. And I'm like, but which ones would I get rid of? I just so love these calls. These are my favorites. Like the small, we get intimate, we share from our hearts. And these are my favorite kinds of calls. And it really, it is rewarding for me. And I look at my calendar and go, oh, well, I don't have a call. But I'm doing stuff that I love all day. And I'll take my break right now to go pee, and maybe I'll make this my fasting day, because I don't have time to eat between now and then. And it'll be my, you know, 24-hour fast day. So, but thank you guys. I really appreciate you and really just so enjoy working with you. And I'm so, you know, so sending healing to, you know, Paula's brother and Diana and Rachel and everybody that's has this serious stuff going on. And then to all the rest of you, you know, to Annie for just getting some calmness there and trusting, and Donna for, you know, just you're doing amazing, Donna. I've seen you just so change over the years, and it's a slow process, and really accepting that. And, you know, Jenny's only been here for a year, but whew, you know, just so much that we've gone through together, and Sandra and Kathy. And I mean, you guys are just amazing. And I just so love watching the progress you've made. And maybe you're not at your ideal weight yet, and maybe you're not wherever, but there's so much transformation going on a very deep level that we're going to figure it out. And if you get on some calls with me, Annie, we'll work a little harder at figuring it out. Okay. So thank you, everybody, and I so appreciate, and we'll see you again probably if you're on any of the other calls today. There's a vital call today, so I'll see you then. And then there's a, no, I think that's, there's some, I have a whole bunch of private calls on Thursday, not public ones. So we'll see you then, and then we'll see you, and next week, don't forget that next week, the Saturday, is the ice cream class. So don't miss the ice cream class in the Vital Community, because it's going to be fun. I'm hoping to make up some new recipes as we go on, you know, as I come up with that, more than just what's in the keto book that I just, the keto ice cream book that you guys should have access to if you go to the Sweet Spot page. Yeah. So thank you so much. We'll see you soon. Oh, bye-bye.
Dr. Rita Marie,
yeah.
I forgot to ask a quick question. On the Sweet Spot, in if you are gold, can you do that follow-up one for free, or does everybody? All
can. No, all of you can. I sent a coupon.
I tried to enroll, and it, every time it cued me to pay money. And so I didn't successfully.
Yes, it cued you to pay money, but we gave you a coupon code. So check your newsletter last weekend. And Angelica, if you know what that is, can you send that to Kathy, please? But yeah, we had a coupon code for you to use to get in.
And is it too late? Because Friday was the cutoff.
We'll make sure that it's not.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.